Main menu.
Welcome to ACB Radio Mainstream's regular look at technology from a blindness perspective. This is Main Menu. Coming up on Main Menu this week, we hear from Microsoft on accessibility and Windows Longhorn, now known as Windows Vista.
My name is Mia Lipner. I have what I think is one of the funniest titles in the tech industry. I am a technical evangelist for Microsoft. And I'll explain a little bit about what that means. But first, a little bit of my history. I started working for Microsoft in January of 2000 as a software test engineer, specifically working on accessibility, specifically working on Internet Explorer. I worked on and filed bugs on and argued to get bugs fixed on Internet Explorer 5.5 and 6.0. After that, I moved over to doing some more code-based work that was closer to sort of the core of Windows and Windows XP and Server 2003. A little later, I moved over to the Accessible Technologies Group, which is where I am now. First, I was a tester, and then they moved me over to marketing. And what my title means, what a technical evangelist does, is come out and talk to our customers, whether it's vendors and other companies or end users, about Microsoft technologies and what we're doing and what we may be doing well, what we could be doing better, and to get that feedback and to sort of act as that intermediary between the customer and the developers and the people who are planning things back at the company. So that's what I do. Before I get into some more specific technology things, I'll talk about some of the general ideas around Microsoft that we have about accessibility. Microsoft's philosophy on accessibility is, right now, we've tied it in very closely to 2005's European Commission's e-inclusion initiative, where they are pushing very hard for the information society to be accessible to all people of all ability levels. And so computer accessibility is a key part of that, as are things like e-government and, you know, accessible technology solutions that allow people to work either with built-in accessibility features of a product or with third-party assistive technologies like screen readers and magnifiers and that sort of thing. So in 2003, Microsoft commissioned a study from Forrester Research to understand better the market potential for assistive technology. Because I think we've all heard, a key part for those who may not have figured it out already is I'm totally blind, so I understand exactly how dependent we all are on the accessibility of this stuff. But I think a lot of us have heard, when we ask for things to be made more accessible, how there's not enough of a market share, that it's too small a demand, that accessibility isn't as big a concern. So at Microsoft, we wanted to find out whether this was actually true. So we commissioned a study about assistive technology to provide information on the range of abilities of users and how people use their computer. So we surveyed about 1,500 people in the United States and asked specific questions both about specific disabilities, like identifying yourself as blind or low vision or hearing impaired, but also asking people if they had a hard time with things. So for people who didn't self-identify as actually disabled, we wanted to know, okay, but are there things that could be easier for you to do? Sort of going with that, you know, the curb cut philosophy, right? That says, okay, if you make it accessible for the people with disabilities, it makes it easier for lots of other people who didn't even know it could be made easier. So And another key part of this is the issue of aging populations in both the U.S. and in Europe and Japan. By 2010, nearly half the population will be 45 or older, and in much of Europe and Japan. By 2050, there will be nearly twice as many older adults as younger people in those areas. And, you know, the levels of impairment and degrees of impairment tend to increase. So it's in everybody's best interest that things become more accessible. So we ask people to identify their levels and types of impairments. We ask them to identify whether they consider themselves disabled or not. We ask them things like, do you get tired after reading a newspaper for, you know, a particular amount of time? We also ask specific questions about employment, because accessibility has an impact there as well. So what we learned is that sort of old research sort of said, okay, we have the disabled population and we have the non-disabled population, and their concerns are very different. What we've actually sort of learned from this research is, one, that most people don't self-identify as having an impairment or difficulty, yet one in four computer users have some kind of visual difficulty. One in four users may have some kind of dexterity impairment, whether it's carpal tunnel or something more serious. And what are the numbers? I think one in five may have some form of hearing impairment. Which means, and I think the numbers that came out were that 57% of all computer users could benefit from some kind of accessible technology. That's not insignificant. And that helps make a better argument for why accessibility needs to be improved across the board. So that's what we also have done is usability studies about some of the accessibility features that are already included in Windows XP and whether they're discoverable. I don't know how many people have used Narrator. It's my okay, let me. So we all know that Narrator was not intended to be a full-featured screen reader. We all know that Microsoft Sam sappy speech is really annoying. I will be perfect. Yeah. It's there as a stopgap, and I have used it for times when I was a tester and something I did crashed my screen reader and I needed to bring up an error message and see what it was, or I needed to get something really quickly that I couldn't do with a screen reader. So there's also the magnifier, which is meant to serve a similar purpose. There are display settings changes that you can make from the control panel. One of the accessibility features that is particularly useful for some low vision users that not everybody seems to know about is the control mouse wheel. Do you guys know about that? Okay. On the fly, if you are running Windows XP in an application and you want to try and magnify that particular section, press the control key and scroll the mouse wheel. That will change the zoom focus of whatever you're looking at. And you can change that back and forth. I think it doesn't work in PowerPoint. It should work in Word. I believe it works in IE. But it is there, and it is my favorite hidden feature because it is kind of cool. And that will be included in Longhorn, and it will be improved in Longhorn. There are some other features that are targeted at people with mobility impairments, but can be fairly useful for people who get tired of having to hit multiple keys. There's the sticky keys function, which allows you to press, you know, when you have to cord three keys at once, you can press them in sequence instead. To trigger that, you hit the left shift button 5 times, and it starts it. And you can also turn it off, because I know some people who have tremor issues in their hands and they end up doing that and the little dialogue comes up and they won't. But when it comes up, it actually tells you how to dismiss it and how to keep it from coming up. So that's actually a useful feature as well. So all of those things are going to be RNXP right now, but nobody knows about them because they're hard to find, because they get hidden in different places, as do, you know, the accessibility setting or for Internet Explorer are one place, and the accessibility settings for Windows are in another place, and for Office, depending on which application, they're in another place, and you have to make all of these adjustments. We understand that this is difficult, and we're working on trying to consolidate that and make it more discoverable and make it easier so that you don't have to remember, okay, what was I supposed to change here? So I'll back up a little bit and talk about how accessibility planning works at Microsoft, because we strongly believe that accessibility is something you plan for at the very beginning, when you're speccing out your product, when you're trying to figure out everything else, what it's supposed to look like, when you're thinking about security, when you're thinking about stability, when you're thinking about all of these kinds of issues, accessibility is in there as well. So program management, who are the people who are responsible for planning programs, they're expected to include an accessibility section in their specifications. We also have the Microsoft Accessibility Guide, which is an internal set of guidelines for products across the company that are based on things like the World Wide Web Consortium guidelines from the WCAG, Web Content Accessibility Guide, and also Section 508 guidelines. So we have all of these lists, but lots of people look at them and they don't know what they mean. So what we've also done is we've provided test case outlines, technical articles, so that a developer knows how to try to write to meet those guidelines. We have test cases to how to test for that, which means to anybody who's not familiar with the terminology, the idea is that if you put in a button, for instance, we want to make sure that someone can tab to the button, that there's some kind of keyboard, another keyboard equivalent to trigger that, and that the button itself, like the label and title and state, are accurately reported to the user, because that's all very important. So those are the sort of test cases we provide. What we also have is general test case templates to test with accessible technologies themselves. And I know this because I wrote them. There is a template to test to make sure that a product is compatible with JAWS. There is a template to make sure it's compatible with Window Eyes, with Zoom Text, with various kinds of on-screen keyboards and switch-based devices. So this is for all disabilities, not just screen readers and magnifiers. We also have what's called the Microsoft Assistive Technology Vendor Program, where companies sign up and get information about what we are doing and the changes that are coming about, especially right now for Longhorn, and get to test, you know, with get information when we can. We give them bits. So Freedom Scientific is in the program. You know, any of the products that you work with are there, and we work fairly closely with them. And we're working fairly closely with all of them right now to make sure that Longhorn will be accessible when we ship, which will be in 2006. So one of the key parts of Windows accessibility and what we've tried to work on is what's called programmatic access, which means that any application provides information to another product about what's going on and how, so you can access that information through the code rather than having to dig in and hook through, say, the graphics stack or any of these other things. Now, the previous method of doing this was called Microsoft Active Accessibility, which is a COM-based interface. And what we've all sort of learned is it didn't quite do as much as we needed it to, and the documentation wasn't quite as clear as it needed to be. So it either didn't provide enough information, wasn't quite extensible enough, and lots of developers didn't know how to implement it correctly. So what we wanted to do was take what we've learned from that and build a new accessibility model for Windows. This new programmatic access model is called UI Automation, which is an automation framework built into Windows that will expose sort of that provides a platform level support for automating all UI elements and providing programmatic information for and this serves a dual purpose. This helps both assistive technologies and automated testing tools for the user interface. And there's a big question of why accessibility and testing would come into the same area. Well, when you're testing a user interface, when it's not about accessibility, the idea of testing is, okay, when I tell it to press this button, does it press it? Yes? No. Does the state change? What information do I get back? Is it identifying that button correctly? Can I inject a keystroke? Can I inject a mouse click? These are a lot of the same concerns that assistive technologies have. You want to be able to identify a button. You want to be able to activate it in a way that maybe isn't the standard way. So, you know, if you want to be able to click it from both the keyboard and the mouse, you want to be able to get it to report that information. So before, what would happen is, depending on what you were building your application in, so if it was a WinForms application, there'd be one accessibility way, one way of making it accessible, maybe. And if it was a Win32 application, there would be another way. And if there was a web application, there would be something else that would need to be done. And if there was something in Office, you'd have to do something else. And we want to make it a little more consistent so that it's easier for everybody, for the end user to be able to get the same information, but also for the assistive technologies themselves, so that they don't have to re-script every time a new, you know, so that if they know that this information will be provided in a particular way, that it will be that way. And then they can work on innovating in other ways so that they're not always just scrambling to keep up with Microsoft. And it will also make their, hopefully, make their development cycles a little faster and easier. So these are the goals for UI automation. It will ship in Longhorn. We're working with the assistive technology vendors on their compatibility for UI automation for MSAA and the various technologies in Longhorn. So the UI automation framework itself provides a hierarchical tree structure that exposes all of the objects in an application window. And for those who don't understand what that means, an application window, say you open up Word, what that is a series of different elements that are in a kind of hierarchical structure. So you first have the application window, and as it has what are called child windows, so you'd have like your title bar, which is a child window, and the menu bar, which is a child window, and the toolbar, which is a child window. And that toolbar has children in it as well, which are the various buttons. So what UI automation wants, what UI automation is meant to do is expose this as a kind of tree structure so that an assistive technology can query and say, okay, what information do I want, and what can I get? How many children are here? That's not too different from what we tried to do with MSAA. What has changed is that we've added more information about things like controls, so that they can be identified as what they actually are. And this is especially useful for custom controls now that more of them are showing up. And I don't know, I expect people out there have had the experience of having your screen reader identify something as a button when it's actually a checkbox, or not identifying it as anything when it is, in fact, a button. So those are sort of the custom controls that get written in different technologies. And the idea now is that we want to make it possible for that to be much more easily identified as a button. If it's really a button, say it's a button. What it will also do is track the focus, like the bounding rectangle of an element. What I was just talking about were the controls properties, which are the checked or unchecked, color, position on the screen, those sorts of things. We're trying to provide more of that sort of information. And then also to present more of the information of event notices of things that change, right? When something gets flashed on the screen, to make it more easily identifiable so that when there are event changes, that those come up more easily. And with when applications are using UI automation, they will provide all of this information, and it will be up to the ATs to decide which information is most useful for them, because a screen reader and an on-screen keyboard switch combination don't need the same things, even though they both could utilize UI automation. So having as much, trying to provide as much information as possible and have the assistive technology filter it as needed for the user. That's sort of the basics of it. We're in our beta cycle now, and it's things are very, very busy right now. Either I talked too fast or I misplaced part of my notes, because I think I can open it up for questions now.
Is the criteria for becoming a beta tester for Longhorn any different than it was for XP, SP2? Can you just get on a particular website and download the beta? Because I did beta test XP, SP2.
To the best of my knowledge, I'm fairly certain that you can just sign up. They have, I don't think they have specific criteria. What they are doing for beta testers and is sort of also in usability testing, so they will be looking for particular, they look for different people for different things. So, you know, as many people as possible who sign up, that just increases the possible user base that they can get to. So to the best of my knowledge, I think that's what you do.
Two questions. The first one is, it said that that the Apple platform, by its very nature, is much more able to force developers of programs to stick to various standards and not to be able to bypass so they can do something really fancy. I'm wondering, you know, is this going to be an element in Longhorn? And secondly, I think that the incident with the purchase of Giant and the release of it in an accessible format, I think that was not a good move for Microsoft in terms of its commitment to accessibility.
So there are two sort of statement questions. First, the thing about Apple. It is true that because Apple has so much control over everything, right, that they can force particular styles and particular accessibility preferences, if you know, in their development tools, because there are only two development tools for Apple, and all the hardware is the same, so they don't have to worry about whether something's compatible with video card X or video card Y. You know, it's a trade-off. We've been working on the whole idea of UI automation for, I think, 5 years now. Basically, since XP shipped, we started trying to develop UI automation and planning and replanning. And we've actually just in the last month or so, we have announced that we are going to be offering a royalty-free license for the UI automation information to go cross-platform. And we're actually working in a working group with other companies so that they can use it for their platforms as well. And there's a lot of excitement in the industry about that. So I think that's really cool. And I think having a more consistent story no matter where you are is really great, and I'm actually really proud of Microsoft for leading that effort. I think it will only lead to good things. But so that's sort of my side note from the Apple thing. As far as the giant purchase, I actually talked to the head of the security division, and he said, "How badly did we mess up with this?" And I said, "Pretty badly. They're not happy." But unfortunately, Microsoft is big, and there are lots of different divisions, and we don't always get a chance to get the messaging clear across the board as quickly as we'd like to. However, they are well aware of the problems and began working on it immediately upon receiving the complaints. So it is a concern. They got the message loud and clear. I can't make any promises about that won't happen again, but I can only hope. And I know very much that there is a lot of concern, even at the executive level, that what we do is accessible. We're working on it.
To clarify for those of you that aren't familiar with what this Giant purchase was about, Microsoft recently purchased a company called Giant, which produces a very highly regarded but highly inaccessible anti-spyware software package. Next question from Richard Villa.
As I'm sure as a user, you've run into situations where the application itself plays with things like your resolution on your screen. And what I'm wondering if there's been any thought in this UI automation package of producing the information two ways, in the real way with the changes that have been made, and also in the standard pre-application or pre-launch of the application or whatever I'd call default, let's say, of the display.
Hopefully, what UI automation will allow is for that raw data underneath to be accessible regardless of what the resolution settings are. So it'll all be about the programmatic stuff. So it's all in the code itself and has nothing to do with the display settings. So that could solve the problem.
You said something about the control and the mouse wheel making things bigger?
Mm-hmm.
Is that... like you actually have to have a mouse, or can you use like the touchpad? Or
I think you actually have to use one of the three button mice with the wheel in the middle.
Rob Turner, you were looking for that.
Thanks. I came in a little bit late, so I might have missed something. But I guess the question I have would be this: I take an application like Windows Media Player, for example, which I find to be somewhat accessible, but also I think it has a lot of features that can be very complex and maybe not that easy to know what is meant by some things, let's say. Because they've got the different skins and all these other visual things that are built into it. And so I'm wondering, with Longhorn, the applications that go along with that, I don't even know what would be shipping, but how are they going to be accessible in the sense that we've been accustomed to, like with XP? How will that be different, or how will that be the same? Is that clear?
Yeah, that is clear. So you basically things inbox products like Media Player or... that's actually a good example, but how do we know how accessible those are going to be? We're working with those teams right now, and every product or every component of Longhorn right now has to meet a certain accessibility bar. It's part of what determines whether they will ship or not. Accessibility is counted there, along with security, along with stability, along with privacy protection along with performance, things like that. So that they are going to be expected to meet a minimum bar of accessibility. And there's a whole team working with people on that. So I can't tell you specifics, unfortunately, but I know they're working on it. I know it's a concern. So it should be accessible.
Will those same accessibility standards that will be applicable to the operating system side of the Microsoft house also be applicable to the application side of the Microsoft house, such as Office and Money and et cetera?
We do what we can. Right now we are... this is not me saying yes. This is not me saying no. Office has a strong commitment to accessibility. We've worked with them very closely. Right now, because we are so strongly focused on just getting the operating system out and making sure that those components are accessible, we do work with Office. We work with MSN. We work with Visual Studio. So we try to help them as much as possible, and we give them the same guidelines. Yes, they should be applied, and there will be some level of it. I cannot... Each sort of product group has to sort of respond to their plans on that, though, unfortunately.
Two questions, and one, I've tried not to get too off-topic, but it is Microsoft-related. Regarding Longhorn, and I might have, again, I came in a bit late too, but is virus protection built in? Will it be built in? In other words, could someone decide we want to jettison Norton or whatever, you know? And the same question would relate to spyware. Is that it, would that be built in? So in other words, it would be a one-stop shop, is my question. The second one. The second question I had has to do with Magneto, which I believe is the code word for the new Pocket PC operating system.
Yeah, Pocket PC 5.0.
Yeah, I mean, you know, PDA is a big thing now, and we're wondering when 2005 is coming out, and if the web browser is going to be significantly improved, because, you know, currently those products that are trying to, you know, handle the regular Pocket PC, you can't access a lot of websites
right.
on the current. So those are my... I know they're
okay.
a little disparate, but that's... Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. First, the virus protection and spyware. Security is a huge concern. So I believe there's an intention of providing lots of security features in the box. How far those go and whether it means you can jettison Norton or not, I don't know. But I do know that there's a huge push to make everything more secure, to make it make the OS more stable, to make it harder for, you know, the various different exploits that have, you know, if you've gotten those Windows update notices, you know, to make those less frequent and less exploitable. And so Longhorn will be more secure, and there will be more security tools available. As far as Magneto goes, I'll say this. I don't know the answer to that. However, one of the areas that I've taken on personally, because I happen to think the mobile computing space is really exciting for in general and for accessibility, so I'm actually starting to work with the Pocket PC team on their accessibility story and their accessibility issues. So I don't know the answer to this question now. But it's certainly on my radar because it's one of the areas that I work on.
Hi, this is Jim Dunham. And first of all, I want to thank you for taking the time to come and speak to us today. I know what beta cycles are like and very crazy and a lot of stuff going on. I really appreciate your time. I guess I want to know if Microsoft has figured out, or the UI automation team has figured out, how you're going to support legacy applications.
Legacy applications like...
Any application that's not written specifically for Longhorn.
Well, depending on what happens. There are some techniques for access that are going to be that need to be changed. A lot of them are actually for security reasons as opposed to for other reasons. Certain kinds of access to the display driver, those sorts of things. may change, access to the kernel, those kinds of things. But for anything else that doesn't require that, we are supporting legacy applications. I'm fairly certain that we're intending to support anything that supports MSAA now will still work.
Will that also apply to screen readers, or will screen readers have to do a complete rewrite in order to work with Longhorn?
They will have to do some rewriting. There will have to be some work. But they will not have to do a complete rewrite for Longhorn. We're encouraging them to move towards UI automation just because we believe it's better and that it will provide more complete user story for them. But they will be able to still leverage their whatever they use for MSAA to the best for the things that support it.
Thank you again, as Jim said, for taking the time. My question relates to the competition with Apple. I've been a Microsoft baby forever and recently gotten the Apple operating system, which, as most of us know, include the screen reader and the screen magnification. What is included in Longhorn to compete with that, or are we back to God help us, Navigator and the magnifier?
It has always been Microsoft's philosophy that we are not in competition with the third-party vendors we work with, right? We are working on improving Narrator and Magnifier. They will still not be a full-featured screen reader or magnifier, but they should be better. So they should serve a little bit more of a need where possible, so that they can be sort of on-the-fly tools to use when you don't have the full-functioning screen reader available to you, so that you can actually get things done. Who knows? As the marketplace changes, our narrator and magnifier may change as well. I don't know. But for Longhorn, we're remaining with our philosophy that they're not intended to be the full-featured tools. They're there to be, you know, startup tools and backup tools for the other screen readers and magnifiers on the market.
What I'm hearing you say is that although Longhorn is a wonderful tool, there will be some backwards compatibility with MSAA. Given that, and given your interest in beta testers, could I sign up to be a beta tester tomorrow and expect my screen reader to work in enough of a fashion to give you usable data? If not, are you working with the screen reader companies to let them know that you want their products to work so that we can beta test? That would be one question. The second question is, you made reference to creating templates so that developers know how to make things work with JAWS, with Window Eyes, with whatever. But if I were a developer, I'd say, forget it. I'm just going to write an application, and insofar as there are some generic accessibility standards, I will use them. Do you see those templates disappearing with Longhorn because of the automation, or at least becoming less of a need? And the person on my left is curious to know if Internet Explorer will still retain the same sort of functionality. Thank you.
We are currently working with the screen reader vendors right now to get them up and accessible and running on Longhorn. At this point, there are some known issues, and we're working with them to resolve those issues. But it is important that we do accomplish this, because getting back to sort of my status at Microsoft, there are blind and low vision employees who need to be working on Longhorn. Okay, the next question was templates.
Yes.
Templates. Okay. We sort of work on the two philosophies, right? So we go for the generic accessibility issues. Make sure that everything's keyboard accessible. Make sure that everything's labeled correctly. Make sure that you don't hard code your colors and your fonts. All of those kinds of things, the sort of generic rules for making an application accessible. However, because each of those assistive technologies still accesses that information in a different way, and because you never know what they are actually doing necessarily, it is still necessary to make sure that they test with those templates right now, and probably with Longhorn too, until, you know, unless there's some kind of standardization among the ATs, and we can't force that to happen. Because I don't I've certainly had the experience where I can open up one application in one screen reader and it reads one, you know, it reads certain things perfectly and doesn't handle something else that well, and the other one will do the reverse. And so we do sort of expect that that kind of testing goes on. But in another way, that's also consistent with what we have called application compatibility testing, which isn't even about accessibility. It's about, can you load this game? Can you load, you know, this other third-party product? Does it, can it install? Can it run? And being able to do that is just a basic test bar of saying, okay, will this stuff work? And it's just that accessibility requires a certain level of knowledge that other things don't necessarily. So I don't know if those templates will go away. I think it'd be great if they did. I expect that they probably won't in the Longhorn time frame.
Internet Explorer.
Will the functionality be the same? In terms of accessibility, I believe so.
Now, will that refer to Internet Explorer 6 or Internet Explorer 7?
I was referring to 7. But I don't actually work on the IE team now, so I do expect that they should be accessible, and I know the team that is working on IE accessibility, and there are some good people there.
Independent installation and Longhorn.
Independent installation. It's on the list. I've been pushing for that ever since, you know, I mean, when I was working as a tester on XP and had to be doing installs. I don't know what the level of that will be. I know it's on the list. I know it's being discussed. I don't know.
Okay, other questions.
But I've written that one down.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment and then a question. And you may or may not have an answer, but I'm going to say this anyway. I just happened to be with Greg Lowdy in 1993, in March of 1993 at CSUN, when he made a call to the office. This was in one of the first CSUN conferences where they were talking about GUI access. And he came to me and he said, "What about the idea that we won't compete with third-party businesses for accessibility? Do you think that that as in reason will fly?" And I said, well, Microsoft has never had any qualms before about competing with third-party businesses. I don't understand why in the field of access technology that changes, especially, and that still holds true today, especially in the case where access for us now costs more than the computer itself. I think that this is totally bogus, and the reasons that you guys are citing for not doing it are just not realistic. Also, in that vein, if that is the tack that you want to take, then I would suggest that you put that in your PR instead of implying that you do provide access that you really don't. My term for that is image without substance. Thank you.
Point taken. Part of the not competing with third parties is sort of the idea of that they also have a whole lot more experience in this specific area. And, you know, as I said, things could change. Right now the marketplace is changing. So I don't know what you could expect 5 years from now in that respect.
Back to this concept of the accessible installation. Mm-hmm. Is there anything we could do, or could you put up a list of things that we as blind people, as disabled people, could rank so that Microsoft might know what's really important to us? I would think that the accessible installation is way up there for most of us. I can't tell you how frazzled my girlfriend is when I say, this is the night we're reinstalling Windows XP.
We have actually done, at I think both CSUN and ATIA, we did a bunch of user panels to actually talk to people about what their big concerns were. And I'm fairly certain accessible install is there. So we have consulted with the disability community, and we do have a ranked list of the things they've been asking for, or we've been asking for. It's interesting being on both sides of this. We've got a lot of asks, and we're doing our best to meet as many of them as possible.
I'm Howard Ferguson from Olympia, Washington. I'm a low vision user, and I have a problem. In using reverse colors, I prefer a black or a dark color in the background. But even in Windows XP, on some of the control panels, if you reverse the black, the print still comes out black, so you can't read it. And is that going to be hopefully addressed a little more to reduce the number of cases?
Yes.
Because it's in other products too, but
yes.
It's really bad when it's in the main window.
Yeah, so. we have things like that on our list of things that people have to test for in Longhorn components. So I expect that to be addressed in Longhorn.
Would there be any possibility of doing like patches and updates if there are things that are found that are not accessible in either the Longhorn OS or any other applications like Word, or like the gentleman said about Media Player, doesn't have certain things that are not accessible? Would Microsoft ever consider actually updating those features? I know they do a lot of security updates. That's a big priority.
So doing accessibility updates.
Right, adding those to the Windows Update site so you can grab those. And a lot of people don't care about that because they have no idea what accessibility means, but for those that it does affect, they choose to update those.
I don't know if there are plans to have that stuff included. I expect that if there are some serious accessibility issues that they would get rolled into, maybe not those patches, but certainly in the service pack releases and things like that come out. I know there are accessibility improvements that get added into those.
I have been a lurker on some of the blindest programmers' email list, and of course in recent months there's been lots of talk about the new programming suite, the Visual Studio 2005, and there seem to be some good reports there about its accessibility for blind programmers. But a different question that I have is, first off, maybe you can elaborate on that a little bit, but also, to what extent are new commercial programming tools like Visual Studio going to be creating more accessible code by default?
Yeah, that should be improving as well, because based on some of the tools that will be directly implementing UI automation, a programmer who decides that they're going to build using that framework will get UI automation for free. There are a couple products that are going to should be shipping sometime in the Longhorn timeframe that will be doing that. So those products should be sort of out of the box. If you write a product or you write a program using that, that the UI automation implementation will be there immediately. And Visual Studio, besides being more accessible, they're also implementing tools so that there's an accessibility checker, I believe, so that a developer can, so it at least flags things that look like they might not be accessible. So we're expecting improvements in that area.
Yes, this is Richie from Alaska. And my question is, what effect is Windows Longhorn going to have on older systems, older computers that don't have the 64-bit processors and the like?
As with every platform upgrade, there are going to be minimum system specs or system requirements that a machine should probably meet to run Longhorn successfully. I'm fairly certain Longhorn is shipping both 32 and 64-bit, so I don't think that's a concern.
Question that I have is, back with when Windows 95 came out, there was the big thing about the Microsoft Windows logo certification thing.
Right.
If Microsoft does not choose to say you need to make your systems accessible, why is there a possibility of including accessibility as one of the requirements for the certification? I mean, they don't have to get it if they don't want to, but if they want it, they need to put accessibility in their product. I mean, why isn't, if Microsoft's really committed to accessibility, I would think that'd be something they put in that requirement as a requirement.
Right, I understand that. Part of the problem with that is that accessibility means different things in different applications, and it's a huge amount of work to determine whether, say, your graphics design program, you know, like an AutoCAD program, is accessible versus a word processor program versus a game versus. So, unfortunately, I think although it'd be a great thing to do, I don't think that we necessarily have the resources to be the ones who can determine that. And unless those companies are willing to do their own work and testing and come up with their own, you know, have their own standards of what accessibility means for them, we believe it or not, as big and powerful as Microsoft seems to be, we cannot be the police of every application out there. And it's not just about accessibility. There are plenty of other areas that this is true. So we do the best we can, and we can try. And we try and encourage, especially products that we know there's demand for, and we work fairly closely with some of those companies. With other ones, we do what we can.
Some of us are application developers or studying programming and might be interested or are interested in getting Microsoft certifications. Is there a resource out there to know what books are available that help with the certification process that are accessible?
Not to mention the testing issues.
Those questions come up a lot, and somehow I don't know the answer because that's not the area I tend to cover. You can send those to. We do have an email request alias on Microsoft.com/enable, and if you need to know that information, send it there, and it will be forwarded to the correct channels, and I'm sure they'll be able to help you.
By the way, that is an issue that has been going on for a while, and it's from the lurking I've done on these lists, it sounds like one that people have really struggled with, so if there's any way for that to be escalated at Microsoft to be a bit more proactive, that would be good for all
sure.
of the technical people out there.
Sure.
Mia, when you talked about Microsoft not having the resources available to build in the accessibility pieces, if
okay, let me clarify first,
and then I have a follow up.
Sure,
after you clarify.
Sure, I'm not saying we don't have the resources to build in the accessibility pieces. What I'm saying is that we do not have the resources to test every single third party application for Windows Logo that's applying for Windows Logo status for accessibility right now. So as far as we're concerned, we can do what, for our applications, we can do what we can. And we can encourage those other products to be accessible. But there's a lot of work that it takes We also ask those applications that are going for logo certification to do tons of testing on their own. And like I said, you need to push them to be more accessible.
Okay.
Because we can't we can only tell them so much.
But one of the things in my view that drive up the cost for us and you mentioned that you're totally blind, so you're in the same boat as I am and the rest of us here, is that, you know, we have to buy the same computer system that a sighted person buys, but by the time you get done buying the screen reader and the other pieces, we're paying much more
right.
than what the average person could do. And it seems to me that while I understand Microsoft's policy of not competing with third-party vendors, if Microsoft could do something similar to like what Apple has done in terms of building a screen reader in the actual unit, that would go a long way toward bringing the prices down.
Sure. And I hear that a lot. And I definitely hear what you're saying, and I think it's a valid point. It just all depends on what happens and what happens with screen readers themselves as well. There might be ways of them changing their price points too. I don't know. So it's, you know, there's lots of negotiation that needs to go on in this space. And like I said, with the market changes, especially with Apple and what they're doing, who knows what's going to happen.
One of the real issues now, if your computer totally screws up, it's really difficult with the lack of level of access that we have at the moment to, you know, to do things like get into startup mode, to get the screen reader running properly in safe mode, all those kinds of things. Is that going to be improved in Longhorn?
I believe so. I think that is covered under what we want our applets to do, what we want our narrator to be used for and magnifier, so that they'll run, say, on the logon screen for the first time, so that you can restart your system, that you can get to those basic functions easily when you're having problems with other assistive technology. So, I mean, that's what those products were intended for, and they still are.
Yeah, what she's talking about, Mia, is, and I know what she's saying, I've had times before where you either install a new copy of Windows XP or you have to reinstall it. What would really be cool is when you put the CD-ROM in, Windows XP Narrator needs to come up and start talking right then and there.
Right now you can load Narrator by hitting the Win key plus U at any time in the OS. So I assume you want something like that.
Mia, you've been fielding pitches now for about over an hour, and if you were a baseball player, you would have run through somebody's entire pitching staff about long ago. So we want to thank you. You've been really excellent. I'm sure I'm speaking for everybody here I think I can say that you definitely exceeded our expectations, and we're all very pleased with that you came here to speak to us honestly and forthrightly and really share lots of great information today. Let's give me another great hand.
I'm glad I could do it. Thanks. You've definitely given me some stuff to take back to my colleagues, some things that I have thought about, some things that I've been so busy that I've forgotten to pursue. Feel free to contact me if you have any further questions and follow-up, and I'll do what I can. My contact information is Mia L, that's M as in Mary, I-A-L, @microsoft.com.
Thank you, Mia. It's been great.